I don't know about you, but I have always fallen into the same category of reading the Bible or hearing stories of the Bible or reading the great prophets and apostles of the Bible and envying them in the sense of, man, I wish I was there to see Christ face to face, or to see, you know, in the Old Testament have these revelations of God or hearing the voice of God or what that must be like. And, you know, I become in awe of these people and get really confused, you know, when how are you still rebelling when you just saw the power of God? Or, you know, you're looking into the eyes of Christ and then you can turn around and deny him or betray him. And it's always just been a huge question in my mind, or and I just don't get it, you know. But, and it's even talked about in Scripture, how we right now have more revelation, we have more to work off of, we see the gospel complete because of the Bible. We have so much more than the very men who stared Jesus in the face. Think about how new and foreign all that must have been from Old Testament to New Testament. Even seeing the power of God, obviously, because we read about it, was not enough to keep people holy and to keep people focused. We have so much more today because we have the Bible. We get to see. We get to back way up and read the entire history, everything we need to know, anyways, from start to finish of the gospel. God's work through Jesus Christ. We know that we have the Holy Spirit as our guide and our help. We see from the Old Testament everything pointing to Christ and anticipating the cross. And then we see Jesus Christ revealed in the New Testament. We see his works. We see his power. We can read of his parables and hear his words with even more enlightenment and better understanding, because it's been explained through wonderful teachers and preachers over the last 2,000-3,000 years. So make sure we aren't envying or desiring to be the people from the old days, because we have so much more than them. When we can look to them, we can look to Paul, and we can look to Peter as examples of faith that we need to mimic, but don't use it as any kind of stumbling block or foothold or excuse why we can't believe wholeheartedly and completely and fully and even more sanctified and more, it's been more revealed to us now. And so last night at church, we were going through John 14. And I love my pastor pointing out this verse, because it's always been kind of confusing. I hadn't really heard it explained quite well until last night, so I wanted to share with you guys. It has to go with the same theme. So John 14, 12 through 14, probably. This is Jesus talking. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to my Father. All right, well, actually, just stop there. So this has always been a trip to me, because Jesus just straight up said, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do. Wait a second. Jesus just said, we will do greater works than him. He was raising the dead and turning water into wine and feeding 5,000 people with, like, no food. How is this possible? What a ridiculous statement. But again, the importance of context. In that same verse, the very end of it says, because I am going to the Father. This is why we can't read too quickly and we can't just glaze over things. When we're confused and we need to stop and we need to understand, then pick apart. What did he just say? He will do greater things because I am going to my Father. What is Jesus saying there? He's saying that I'm going to fulfill this gospel. Everything that has been built up since the starting of time, since existence began, this is the climax of it. I am going to die, and I'm going to raise again, and I'm going to go to my Father. What does that mean? That we have a full gospel to teach. Jesus always had to speak in parables. Everything he said, even when he said it as clearly as he could, was still confusing to everyone. They didn't get it. Like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And we hear his apostles ask that all the time. He dies. He raises. He's gone. We get the Holy Spirit, Christ's Spirit in us. And now we get to preach the full gospel, and we have it laid out for us right here as clear as day. Greater works. No, we're not going to raise the dead, and no, we're not going to be turning water into wine, which I wish we could. That'd be cool. But this gift of the gospel we have, we cannot keep our mouths shut when it comes to Christ. I pray that your resolution this year, your main one, is to be so fired up and full of knowledge and love of God that you can't help but speak. That your mouth is no longer sewn shut by your own nervousness and timidness and maybe slow of speech or whatever might be your insecurity. That it just not only oozes from your life and your actions, because that's important too, but don't let that fall back and be like, oh, that's my ministry. I just try to live like a Christian. No, that's a cop out. I did that for years. We need to be excited to talk about God. We need to, when somebody asks our opinion on something or advice about something, we can't help but bring God into the situation. So let's preach that full gospel. Let's learn about Christ more and more and grow in our love and worship of him that it just so out is an outflow of our lives that people can't either be attracted to it, want to know more about it, or hate us for it. But either way, they know who we are and where we stand in God. Pick up your Bibles. Start reading it. Start knowing him. Don't stop until you've finished it. And then when you're finished it, do it again. Because the truths of the Bible and the attributes of God are inexhaustible. So I love you guys.